"Rafe!" Donatello shouted, but not as loudly as everyone else was laughing, so I kept going. "Your wife is ugly, and your daughter too. I think this play is stupid, so guess what? I'm out of here, and you can kiss my..." That's as far as I got before Donatello the Dragon Lady ripped the page right out of my hand. I knew I was in trouble, but I'll tell you this much. It was totally worth it. Everyone besides Donatello was still laughing, including Jeannie Galetta. Yes! And the thing was, nobody was laughing at me anymore. Now they were laughing with me. That's like the difference between night and day, or wet and dry, or in this case, losing and winning. Chapter 16. Thin ice is better than no ice at all. Donatello didn't have to tell me to stay after class. It kind of went without saying. Once everyone was gone, she gave me a real talking to.
"What was that about Rafe?" she asked.
"Nothing," I told her.
"It wasn't nothing," she said. "First of all, let me say that I noticed. You kept Mr. Shakespeare's meter and rhyme in what you wrote."
"Thanks," I said.
"But your behavior was completely unacceptable. There are much better ways to use your creativity, and I think you know it."
I nodded a lot while she talked. It seemed like the right thing to do.
"I'm going to give you a warning this time," Donatello said. "But you're skating on very thin ice. Understood?"
Nod, 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 nod. I didn't hear a whole lot of what she said. All I could think was, no use of foul or inappropriate language at any time. 20,000 points. Bonus. Extra big laughs. 10,000 points. Bonus. Jeannie G saw 5,000 points. That was 35,000 points for the day! I'd taken Leo's challenge and blown it out of the water. Even better, I now knew for a fact that Jeannie Galetta knew I existed. That's what you call progress. As I was leaving, Donatello said,
"I hope you've learned a lesson, Rafe."
"Definitely," I told her. "A really good one." And the lesson was this. There were two ways to play Operation R-A-F-E. The boring way, and Leo's way. Oh, and I also learned that Leo the Silent is a genius. Chapter 17. New Rule. When I got home that afternoon, I went straight to my room with Leo, and we started putting everything that had happened so far into my Operation R-A-F-E notebook. The rules I'd broken, the points I'd earned, and even some of Leo's pictures to document the whole thing. We were just messing around, minding our own business, when I heard Bear start to roar from down the hall.
"What are you doing?" he yelled.
Then I heard Georgia.
"Nothing," she said. "I just wanted to..."
"I'm watching that! Don't change the channel!"
"But you were sleeping."
"No buts," he yelled. "You can watch the game with me, or you can get out of here! What's it going to be?"
A second later, I heard footsteps, and then George's bedroom door slammed. I hated when he yelled at her like that, even more than when he yelled at me. She's just a little kid, and he's, well, he's kind of like a little kid, too, but the biggest, meanest little kid you ever saw.
"Pick on someone your own size,"
I yelled down the hall.
Mind your own beeswax,
Bear said back, and turned up the volume on the TV. It wasn't even worth trying to argue.
You know what? Leo said as soon as I closed my door. We need a new rule.
I was just thinking the same thing, I said. Nobody should get hurt from me playing Operation RAFE.
Especially little kids, Leo added.
And I agreed. I mean, if Miller the Killer accidentally landed in the paper shredder, I wasn't going to cry about it. But otherwise...
Call it the Don't Be a Bear rule, Leo said.
How about just the No Hurt rule, I said.
Good enough, Leo said,
and I wrote that down in the notebook too. Rafe's No Hurt rule. Nobody gets hurt. All risks are mine, and mine alone. No exceptions. I'm not saying I'm some kind of saint. I'm not even saying this made me a better person, whatever that means. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But if putting the no-hurt rule into the game could make me even a little bit less like Bear, then I was all for it. Because Bear was all about hurting. Chapter 18. Teachers want to break me, but I don't break. You know those vampire stories where the new guy doesn't want to drink anyone's blood until he gets a taste of it? Then all he can think about is blood, blood, blood? Okay, maybe that's not a good example. The point is, now that I really knew how to play this game, I was starting to get into it. I spent the next couple of weeks just working on my technique. Leo started giving me bonus points for creativity, and that helped keep me motivated. But Leo wasn't the only one helping. This might be a good time to introduce you to some of the other people at Hills Village Prison for middle schoolers who motivated me to be the best I could be at Operation RAFE. Check it out. There are the cafeteria ladies. I call them Millie, Billy, and Tilly. I think they're part of a government program to get rid of the middle school population in this country, one lunch at a time. 15,000 points for leaving trash on the cafeteria tables. Then there is my Spanish teacher, Señor Wasserman. He's okay, as long as you don't make any mistakes. But if you do, watch out! 7,500 points for arriving after the second bell, 5,000 bonus points for talking back to the teacher, and 5,000 points for listening to my iPod in class. Mr. Lattimore is the gym teacher. And I'm not kidding when I say that nobody ever told him he wasn't in the army anymore. 20,000 points for using a scooter to run laps. That last one put me over the top. Mr. Lattimore didn't think the old scooter switch was very funny. Of course, Lattimore had his sense of humor surgically removed in 1985. He gave me 30 push-ups, 2 extra laps, and... ta-da! My very first detention. I mean, it's not like I wanted detention, but at least now I got something out of it. 50,000 points! Dude! I guess you could say I was on a roll. Even when I got home that day, I was lucky. There was a message on the machine from Mrs. Stricker telling Mom to call the school. That wasn't the lucky part. Duh. The lucky part was when I got to it first and accidentally... on purpose, hit the erase button. Mom was at work, Bear was asleep, and Georgia was digging a hole to Australia, for all I knew. As long as nobody had planted any secret cameras around the house, hey, you never know, then I was going to be fine.
Chapter 19 Apple Pie and Cinnamon. It was a typical Friday night. Mom wouldn't be home until late, and both Georgia and Bear were asleep by 9. Georgia, because she's a kid, and Bear, because he's always so tired after a long day of not working. I'm allowed to stay up late on weekends, and since Jeannie Galetta wasn't exactly begging me to go out with her, not yet, I just hung in and did what I usually do on a Friday night. First, I took a piece of Swiss cheese out of the fridge. Then I walked over to where Ditka could see me holding it up in the air, but not too close. "Ditka! Here, boy!" As soon as he came for it, I ran to the bathroom and threw the cheese inside. I've done this about a million times, but Ditka still falls for it. He pounced on that cheese like it was the last meal on earth, and I just closed the door and walked away. Problem solved. Next, I went out to the garage and snuck a can of Zoom out of Bear's not as much of a secret as he thinks it is stash. He keeps cases and cases of it out there, just for himself. But he never notices if a few are missing. Zoom tastes like chocolate and Coke mixed together, and it has about 8 cups of caffeine in every can, which you'd never know since Bear sleeps so much of the time. I drink mine out of a travel mug, just in case, so he won't see what it is if he wakes up. After that came the really dangerous part. I tiptoed over to where Bear was sleeping and pried his fingers off the TV remote, one by one. Then I very carefully slid the remote out of his hand. It's kind of like defusing a bomb. If it goes wrong, there's a big explosion and everything gets ruined. But if not, sweet. It's the only time I ever get to watch what I want. I surfed around and found a pretty decent movie about a guy trying to escape from an island prison by floating away on a raft made out of coconuts. I really wanted to see him do it, but I must have fallen asleep before it was over. Next thing I knew, Mom was waking me up, and there was some kind of infomercial on the TV. "Rafe, sweetie, time to go to bed." I could smell the apple pie and cinnamon on her uniform. She always smells like that when she comes back from the diner. When I'm lucky, she brings some home, and we get to have apple pie for breakfast the next morning. Mom put an arm around me and walked me back to my room. "How was your day?" she asked.
"About average," I told her, which was true.
"You seem different lately," she said. "Happier. It's nice to see." I didn't know what to say to that, so I just said thanks. Then she got this look on her face, like when she's trying to figure out what I'm thinking. "And Rafe, you haven't seen Leo lately, have you?" she asked.
Ouch. I didn't see that one coming.
Leo's kind of a touchy subject in our house. This was the first time in a long time I felt like I had to tell Mom 100% lie, so I just shook my head no. Somehow it seemed better than lying out loud. Mom looked relieved, which is exactly why I lied, so she wouldn't worry. "Okay, then," she said. "Remember, if you ever need to talk about anything..."
"I know, Mom. Thanks," I said.
Then she hugged me and kissed me goodnight, which I was getting kind of old for, but I didn't mind so much. I really like that cinnamon smell. Chapter 20 Miller the Killer Ruins Detention Day. My good luck lasted for another 4 days, 15 hours, and approximately 22 minutes. It was Wednesday, right after school, and I was on the way to my first detention. Everyone else was gone for the day, so the hall was empty, and even though it didn't seem like a mistake to stop for a drink of water, it was. I barely got a sip before I felt Miller's extra, extra, extra large paw on the back of my neck. Suddenly, my face was wiping the bottom of that fountain, and I was just trying not to eat the piece of gum someone had left there.
"Well, well," Miller said. "Look who it is."
He pulled me up and slammed my back into the wall. Then he got right up in my face. I could see the Cheetos in his teeth.
"Seems like you're getting a reputation around here," Miller said. "What's your deal anyway?"
"I don't know what you're talking about," I said. My heart was going for some kind of world speed record by now. I wanted to just start swinging, but it doesn't take a genius to know that 5'6 and 150 pounds beats 5'1 and 100 pounds every single time. Miller could have turned me inside out before I got off the first punch.
"Listen!" He twisted up my shirt in his fist. "You want to prove you're the baddest kid in school?"
"I'm not trying to prove anything," I said.
"Too late," he said, and stepped back. "You and me, outside, right now."
He held up a finger in my face.
"One."
Then another finger.
"Two."
That's when I remembered. "I can't," I said.
"Why not?" Miller said. "Chicken?"
"No, detention." I saw my hole and went for it, right under his arm and up the hall.
"Detention?" I heard him say. "This is exactly what I'm talking about. I'm on to you, Cachadorian. You better watch your back before you catch a door in the face. You can run."
I was running all right. Straight to Ms. Donatello's room.
"But you can't hide!"
Miller shouted. And he was probably right. Unless Hills Village Middle School had a witness protection program, I was dead meat. Man, I hated Miller. Chapter 21. More Bad News. Leo caught up with me before I got to detention. He'd seen everything.
"I've got bad news," he said.
"I just met the bad news," I told him.
"Well, there's more. You also just lost a life. Sorry, bud."
I stopped right there in the hall.
"What? No way. What are you talking about?" "You wussed out on Miller," he said.
"Yeah, well, I didn't feel like donating any blood today." Leo shrugged.
"Could have been worth some good points. Section 9, Rule 11. Students will not bully, harass, or fight one another anywhere on school property."
"No fair," I said. "Just 'cause I didn't fight him doesn't mean I should lose a life. You never said..."
"I said I'd keep things interesting," Leo told me. "You've got your job, and I've got mine."
"Whatever," I said, and started walking again. "I still didn't lose a life."
"Yeah, you did,"
he called after me. And of course, I knew he was right. This was unbelievable. First, Miller nearly turned me into lunch meat. And then Leo took away one of the only three lives I had. Could this day get any worse? Yes. Chapter 22. And to top it off, I thought detention was going to be me, Ms. Donatello, and whoever else had gotten into trouble that week. But when I got to Donatello's room, she was just sitting there by herself. "You're late," she said. Where is everyone? I said.
I asked Mrs. Stricker to take the other students for detention today. I was hoping you and I could just talk.
Danger, danger, danger!
In case you don't already know, when an adult wants to just talk, it actually means the person wants you to talk. All about stuff you don't want to talk about. In other words, the dragon lady had set her trap, and I'd walked right into it.
Have a seat, she tells me.
No, I say.
You have a seat. My sword rings in the air as I pull it out of its sheath. The dragon lady's eyes turn yellow. A long stream of fire comes shooting out her nose. I dive over a burning desk, roll, and jump back onto my feet. Already her tail is whipping out in my direction. Just before it can stab through my ear and into my brain, I clip off the end of it with my sword. Green blood sprays me in the face. She howls in pain. Get back! I yell at her. I can see the fear in those yellow eyes. But she's faking. She pounces again! Wings wide, claws bared, and that razor tail still trying to get inside my head. The flames are everywhere now. The whole room is on fire. And the heat is intense. I can smell my own skin starting to burn, but I keep swinging. One, two, one, two, one, two! It's getting harder to move, because my sneakers are melting into the floor. Finally, I get her backed into a corner. I raise my sword high, ready to deliver the final death blow. Just as her wings open again, and she rises to the ceiling. She hovers overhead, out of reach of my sword. I swing some more, but it's no good. Of course, her tail can't get me from up there either. I'm starting to think this could go on all night until... Ring!
All students taking the late bus home should proceed to the boarding area now.
And just like that, my first detention was over. I'm disappointed in you, Rafe, Ms. Donatello said. You have so much potential.
I have to catch the bus, I said. Is it okay if I go?
She just sighed and waved me out of the room. I'd survived to be tortured another day, but just like with Miller the Killer, I wasn't sure how much longer I could hold off the Dragon Lady. Chapter 23. What's the point anyway?
Operation RAFE. Score sheet. Rules broken, 23. Rules to go, 89. Points, 340,000. Lives remaining, 2.
So what do I get anyway? I said. Leo and I were hanging out in my room, counting up everything I'd done so far.
Get? He asked me.
For all these points. They've got to be worth something, right?
What do I win? I said. Depends on how many points you finish with, Leo said. You need at least 1,000,000.
For what? I said. He thought about it for a second.
A week of base jumping at the Grand Canyon. All expenses paid.
I'll need training, I said.
No problem. We'll get you the best.
I like the sound of this. For starters, anyway.
Then, whitewater rafting, I said. All the way down the Colorado.
And rock climbing, back out of the canyon, Leo said. Where your Lexus SUV and a fake driver's license are waiting for you.
Sweet.
The whole time, Leo was drawing while we talked. Nothing new there.
He's always drawing.
What about Jeannie Galetta? I said.
Put her in too.
That's going to be another 200,000 points, Leo said. But I'll throw in Bear, you know, so he can get lost in the wild and adopted by real bears.
This was getting better and better. In that case, let him get eaten by real bears. But Leo shook his head.
Nobody gets hurt, remember? It's already in the notebook.
I'll make an exception, I told him.
No exceptions, Leo said. Besides, you need that no-hurt rule. It's the only part of all this that Genie Galetta will like.
This is why Leo's a genius. He thinks of everything. You know, I said, you ought to try talking to other people once in a while. They'd like you if you did. But he didn't answer. Leo the Silent was silent. And that's when I realized someone was outside my door. Rafe, are you in there? It was Mom.
Just a second, I yelled.
Leo did his disappearing act, and I threw my notebook into a drawer, just as Mom opened the door anyway. One look at her face, and I could tell I was in big trouble.
No, not in a second, Mom said. We need to talk right now.
Chapter 24. I'll take the Dragon Lady over the bear any day. When I came into the living room, Mom was standing there looking mad, just like I expected. But Bear was there too, awake and sitting up. Not expected.
What's up?
I said, playing it cool for now.
Did you have detention today? Mom said.
Uh-oh. Busted.
Well, kind of, I said.
Kind of? Bear said. Kind of? What does that mean?
Mom asked him to stay calm, but she kept her eyes on me. I got a call from Mrs. Stricker. She says she left a message here last week. Do you know anything about that?
Oh, man. Double busted.
Just then, Georgia came wandering in, of course.
What's going on? Is Rafe in trouble?
She said.
Go to your room!
Bear yelled at her.
Don't talk to her that way, Mom said.
Georgia, honey, this is between Rafe and us. Go on now. Georgia disappeared again, but I knew she was just standing in the hall listening where we couldn't see her. At least I'd have witnesses if Bear killed me, which he looked like he wanted to do.
You're grounded for a week, he said, standing over me now. And no more touching the answering machine. You got that?
Hang on a minute, Mom said. I want to hear Rafe's side of this. Carl, sit down. Please.
Bear sat, and Mom looked at me again.
Rafe, talk.
Unfortunately, my side of the story wasn't worth much. I told them all about the scooter in gym class and detention, and how I'd erase the message on the machine. Even without saying a word about Operation RAFE, I'd still been just as bad as Bear thought I was. When I was done, Mom took a deep breath.
Rafe, I'm going to ask you something else now, and I want an honest answer, she said. Does Leo have anything to do with this?
I probably would have told her the truth, but Bear decided what he thought about it before I could even open my mouth.
Again with the Leo thing? He yelled at me. I've had it up to here with that. I don't want to ever hear the name Leo in this house again. Understand? You freak?
You're the freak! I shouted back. That's enough, both of you, Mom said, standing up between us. Rafe, you're grounded until further notice. Carl, you go cool off somewhere.
I don't want to talk to either one of you right now.
I was already headed back to my room anyway. Our little talk was over. I found Georgia in the hall, no surprise. But I didn't bust her. I just pushed her back toward her own room and then slammed my door behind me as hard as I could. I wanted to throw something, hit something, and exterminate Bear, all at the same time.
You know, there are ways of getting back at him, Leo said.
You shut up, I told him. You're not even real. I picked up this old ceramic turtle I'd made in second grade and threw it against the wall. It smashed into a million pieces, but I didn't care. I didn't even care about being grounded. It's not like I had 2 dozen friends waiting to do stuff with me after school every day. In fact, I had only one friend. And technically, he didn't even exist.
I'm just saying, Leo told me. I know a way you could get revenge on Bear, and maybe even earn some points at the same time. If you're interested.
It took me a while to calm down, but once I thought about it, I realized I definitely was interested.
Just so you know, this one could really get you into trouble, Leo said.
Who cares? I told him. I'm already in trouble. Keep talking. Chapter 25. Time Out. Okay, time out for a second. I just want to say, it's not like I was trying to hide Leo from you, or at least the part about his not exactly being real. I know, what kind of sixth grader still has imaginary friends? But I don't really think of him that way. It's just that he's always been around, and there's never been a reason to stop talking to him. Maybe I'm not doing too good a job at explaining this. It's not like I think Leo's really there. It's more like, what if someone was there, talking back and helping me figure out stuff? Someone who's always on my side, you know? Like I said before, I'm not exactly popular, so I'll take my help where I can get it. If that makes me weird or whatever, I guess I could live with that. I hope you can, too. For what it's worth, I've told you way more than I've ever told anyone else. Except Leo, of course. You know about Operation RAFE and my stupid point reward system. You know about my problems with my future stepfather. I mean, future stepfather. And, most embarrassing of all, you know about my impossible and very ridiculous crush on Jeannie Galetta. Here's one more secret, just so you know we're friends. Jeannie Galetta is not going to be my girlfriend by the end of this story. I'm not saying that because I don't have confidence or something. I'm saying it because it's my story, and I know how it all turns out. So if you're the type who likes the romantic stuff, and you're waiting around for her to start liking me like that, I'm just saying, don't hold your breath. Okay? Now you know all this stuff about me, and I still don't know anything about you. I don't even know if you're still there. Are you? And if you are, can I trust you with the rest? I still want to know, are you a good person? Maybe that's not fair of me to ask, since I haven't even figured out whether I'm a good person or not. I guess you can be the judge. Here's the deal. If you're okay with me so far, then keep listening. But if you've gotten this far, and you think I'm the lowest of the low, and I don't deserve to have my own audiobook, then maybe you should stop right now. Because it only gets worse from here. Or better, depending on how you look at it. Signed, your friend, R.K. Chapter 26. Revenge for sale. The next day at school, I put our new plan into action. It took until about fourth period for word to get around. By lunchtime, I had a whole line of kids from every grade waiting at my locker for a nice, refreshing can of Zoom. Right out of Bear's smaller than it used to be, not such a secret anymore stash. Hills Village Middle School is a sugary, drink-free zone, so something like Zoom is pure gold around there. I made it BYOC, bring your own cup, so there wouldn't be any marked cans floating around. $1 filled the cup of your choice, or emptied the can, whichever came first. Then I could take the empties home, put them back in their cases, and wait to see if Bear ever got to the bottom of his stash. And if he did, I had a plan for that too. My customers kept saying how cool this was, and thanks, Rafe, including a bunch of people who I didn't even think knew my name. I guess Miller the Killer was right about one thing. I was starting to get a reputation around here. Business was good, too. I'd made 16 bucks, not to mention 35,000 points, by the time lunch was almost over. I didn't see Jeannie Galetta at the end of the line until she was there at my locker. Let me say that again. Jeannie Galetta was at my locker! Thirsty? I said, trying to stay cool.
You know, this is totally against the rules, she said.
That makes it taste better, I said. Good line, right? Jeannie just looked at me, the same way Mom does sometimes, and even Donatello. It was like she was trying to figure me out.
Why does it seem like you're always trying to get in trouble? Jeannie said. I don't get that.
What I did next was probably stupid, but to tell you the truth, I didn't know what else to say.
Can you keep a secret? I asked.
I took out the HVMS code of conduct and showed her how I'd already crossed out a bunch of rules.
Yeah, Jeannie said. So what?
I'm going to be the first person to break every single one of these, I said. One rule at a time.
Oh, great, she said. Thanks for telling me. Now I could get in trouble too.
No, you can't, I said. That's my policy. Whatever happens, I don't let anyone else get hurt. You can even turn me in if you want to.
She just stared at me, but not in a totally bad way. It was more like she hadn't made up her mind yet.
Go ahead, I said. Make my day.
Then Jeannie Galetta did something she'd never done before. She smiled right at me. I know this will sound corny, but it was a really, really nice smile. I think Leo was right.
She liked that no-hurt rule. Of course, the stupid bell had to ring for fifth period, and that smile disappeared faster than a can of Zoom out of my locker.
Oh my gosh, I'm late for science, Jeannie said. Don't worry about it, I said. No, that's what you do, she told me, and now she was just annoyed. By the time I said bye, she was already going up the hall as fast as she could go without actually running, because, you know, that's against the rules.
What just happened? I asked Leo after she was gone.
I'm not sure about this, he said, but I think you just got a step closer to Section 4, Rule 7. No kissing or other public displays of affection are allowed in school.
Chapter 27 Cracking the Dress Code. When Halloween rolled around, it seemed like the perfect time in the game to take on Section 1, Rule 1. the Hills Village Middle School dress code. Normally, this would have been an easy one, but Leo liked it when I upped my game. So he laid down all kinds of challenges and chances for me to earn some extra big points. Forget the fire alarm. Forget about detention with the dragon lady. This was definitely going to be the scariest thing I'd done so far. The first challenge was just getting out of the house without Mom finding out about it.
No costume, Rafe?
She said at breakfast. Georgia was eating a bowl of Cheerios, standing up because she couldn't sit down. She was already wearing her big pink wings. I was just wearing jeans and a regular shirt.
Are you already getting too old for Halloween?
Mom asked. I answered her with one of my not-quite-lies. It's middle school, I said. In fact, everything was already in my backpack, and I changed in the bathroom when I got to school. Black shoes, black pants, black turtleneck, black ski mask. My backpack was dark blue. Well, that was close enough. I also had a pocket full of Cheerios for throwing stars, and nunchucks made out of a couple of paper towel rolls with a piece of rope knotted at both ends. It would have been nice to have a sword, too. But just try fitting a mop handle in your backpack sometime. It was only a matter of time before some teacher nabbed me, so Leo said he'd give me 10,000 points for every 50 yards of ground I could cover inside the school. I came tearing out of that bathroom at full speed and just kept running through the first floor. 10,000! Up the stairs! 10,000! Down the second floor hall, past the lockers. 10,000! Throwing Cheerios and swinging my nunchucks like crazy. If there were a highlight reel, the number one play would have to be when I saw Miller the Killer in the hall. I made sure my mask was pulled down tight over my face. Then I took a big wind-up as I went by and beamed him upside the head with one of the chucks. 10,000!
What the?
Miller turned the wrong way just as I passed him. By the time he'd figured out where I came from and where I was headed, I'd already left him in the dust. He was twice as big as me, but I was twice as fast. Eat it, Miller. And then, splam, I ran right into Mrs. Stricker. Literally. Let's just say she wasn't in the mood for wrestling.
What in heaven's name is this?
She said, grabbing me by the arm. I'm a ninja, I told her.
You're a nincompoop, she said. Take off that mask immediately.
I pulled off the mask.
Rafe, she said. I might have guessed. You absolutely may not run around the school in that costume.
There's no rule against ninjas, I said. And believe me, I checked.
Consider it our newest regulation, Stricker said. No ninjas allowed. At Halloween or any time. You're going to have to take that off.
Okay, okay, I said, like it was a big deal. But this was actually the part I'd been waiting for. Phase 2. Double points. I went into the bathroom and came out a minute later, without my ninja costume, running just as fast as before.
Rafe Kachadorian!
Stricker shouted after me, but I was already gone. Some kids got out of my way. Some even ran in the other direction. A few of the girls screamed when I came through, but I don't think they meant it. And a few people even yelled stuff like, "Go, Rafe, go! And don't let him get you!" Because, like I said, I wasn't wearing my ninja costume anymore. In fact, I wasn't wearing much of anything at all. Just sneakers, a pair of boxers, and a big old smile. Chapter 28 Kicking It Dungeon Style. I thought for sure I'd land in Stricker's office for this one. It turned out I wasn't thinking big enough. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the dungeon. I'm not the only one up for execution today. It's Halloween, after all. So there's a whole dungeon full of people waiting to hear what their torture is going to be.
Hey, the prisoner next to me whispers. Aren't you Rafe Kachadorian?
I've seen his face before, but I don't know his name. That's right, I say.
I've heard about you, he says. What did you do this time?
I broke the dress code, I tell him. He doesn't look very impressed.
Quiet, yells one of the guards. No talking under penalty of death.
I'm getting ready to ask what the difference is, since we're all about to get death sentences anyway. But just then, the door to the inner chamber swings open. It's too late for me now. They carry out the body of the last victim, and the Lizard King himself beckons me inside with one long, green, sticky finger. Chapter 29 His Majesty, the Lizard King. The inner chamber is cold and wet. The Lizard King slides back into his place, across from which I'm supposed to sit. It smells like, I don't know what in here. He takes a lid off a jar of something that looks like white jelly beans and holds it out for me.
Would you like one?
He says. That's when I see that they're not jelly beans, but they are moving. I'll pass, I say. He shrugs and pops a couple in his mouth. Something blue runs out over his chin as he chews them.
It seems you've been making a name for yourself around the kingdom, he says. My spies tell me you're quite the show-off.
When a fly lands on the wall, his tongue shoots out about 3 feet and he nabs it. I'm telling you, this guy never stops eating.
Do you have anything to say in your own defense before I pronounce your sentence?
He asks me, around a mouthful of fly. I think you're confusing me with my twin brother, I say. Wrong answer. The Lizard King reaches over and flattens a hand, or is it a foot, against my face. Either way, it's like Velcro and super glue combined. He picks me up by my head and slams me into the wall. I can barely breathe anymore, and the smell of his breath is so bad at close range, I barely want to.
Guilty as charged, he tells me.
Then he peels his grip off of me, and I drop to the floor like a load of concrete. The Lizard King runs up the wall and across the ceiling. He hangs there, upside down, ready to deliver my sentence.
3 rounds in the detention chamber with the Dragon Lady, he yells. Or until someone ends up dead. Whichever comes first.
Chapter 30 What's the big deal?
Rafe, are you listening to me?
I looked up at Mr. Dwight and nodded.
You need to get your act together, young man. Keep up this kind of behavior, and it's going to be more than just attention for you. Understood?
I knew I couldn't talk my way out of this, so I didn't even try. Understood, I told him, and got up to leave. At least my trip